Just 2 weeks ago, Sally and I were in the same room in New Ulm, Minnesota, doing our 300th episode. 301, we were in a normal spot, Milwaukee and Sleepy Eye. This week, we are on opposite ends of the world. I'm in Hong Kong. And we're talking about ebooks again, and specifically how to bring in content the easy way. Stay tuned for RSS, conversations, and much more.
This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello, everybody. This is the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs coming to you from Hong Kong and coming to us also from another side of the world, Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, is Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin, and good morning to you. It's evening here, which means it's morning on the other side of the world.
Yep, I don't know what date to use, actually, because this is episode 302. I should probably mention that. But this is going to be recorded, this is actually my Tuesday, so this mind map is actually correct, Tuesday, August 13th, even though it's not Tuesday for you. So, yes, I'm in Hong Kong for the third time, and maybe for quite a while I won't be coming back, because I'm spending 10 days here this time trying to get Asia Lutheran Seminary's technology in shape, and had a good couple. I've been here 3 days now, and there's a typhoon coming, so that'll be a new experience for me.
Oh my goodness, wow, that's kind of scary.
Utor, yeah, and I'm on the 30th floor of my hotel here, so we'll see how that goes. It's supposed to just brush us, so I don't know what that means.
I think that means it touches the 30th floor and moves on, so right. Beware.
Right, so that's supposed to come tomorrow, Wednesday, so we'll in episode 303, I'll give you an update on how that all went. So,
all right. I hope you packed an umbrella.
Oh, plenty, yeah. And not that that's going to do any good in 50 to 60 mile per hour winds, but you do what you can. So we have a show to do, and this is old hat for us. You know, we've done this deal before, and thank you, Sally, for doing this in the evening. Appreciate that. I'm kind of doing it at the normal time. So, but we are continuing our series on our ebook website content for churches and schools, and we're up to I don't even know what chapter we're on here.
I think we're on number 8.
Chapter 8, and we're talking about RSS feeds, really simple syndication. And Sally, I don't know about you, but RSS feeds have changed the life for me as a webmaster maintaining websites, because it's just a technology that you really couldn't do without at this point.
That's right. And the reason that it's so wonderful, Martin, is because you can easily incorporate content, which is what this whole ebook is about, content that other people create and publish on their websites into your own website. So you don't have to do any work, and your website gets updated automatically and stays fresh. And that is a great ticket for maintaining your website in the easiest possible way. Obviously, you're going to spend time on all those other things we've been talking about your website content, but certain areas where you're bringing in information from other websites, like maybe a daily devotion feed, for instance, you can kind of fix it and forget it, and it will take care of itself via this RSS feed.
Yeah, the technology, you really don't need to know a lot about at this point, because most of the systems that you use, the content management systems that you use, like Final Web or WordPress, have built-in RSS components, modules that you can hook up. You just plug in whatever feed it is, and sometimes you don't even need the actual feed name. You can just type in a website, and it'll search through and find all the feeds that would be available. So the challenge, and it's not that large a challenge, is to find the feeds that you want to bring in to your website. And there's just a number of categories that you may want to consider. Maybe, Sally, the biggest category is devotional content.
Yep, and we at Wells.net have you covered in that regard, because we have a daily devotion, and we also have a daily Bible reading through your Bible in 3 years. So if you follow that, you'll read the entire Bible in 3 years. And we have a special page on the Wells.net site that has the RSS feeds for you. So you don't even have to go searching for them. They're all pulled together here. And like I said, daily devotions and daily Bible readings are two of our most popular and are easily available on the RSS page.
And the RSS feeds can contain any kind of media, not just text, but they can include audio, like this podcast as an RSS feed, which makes it available in iTunes, for instance. And even video can be RSS'd so that you can bring in that content. And when somebody clicks on that link on your website, they'll open up the video. So lots of multimedia opportunities as opposed to just text. So Wells.net is a great start. And the web address we've got in the ebook, Wells.net/RSS, where you can see all of those. And Sally, you've got some example of those on our example or sample site, right?
That is correct, Martin. I have a page just dedicated to showing you what you'd get if you added the different RSS feeds from Wells.net. So you can see like the daily devotion and how it would display it. It's a Monday through Friday thing, so it doesn't have dates for the weekends displaying, but you can see the Through My Bible in 3 years. There's other feeds from Wells.net as well, news feeds like the Together newsletter or a link to articles in Forward and Christ magazine. We have a faith-related Q&A, and we have blogs on the Wells site, so you can get a mixture of all the information from the blogs. And it'll show you what it looks like. I use it sometimes just to check and make sure everything's working correctly and, you know, just kind of keep a pulse on how the feeds are working for us. And like you mentioned, Martin, there are feeds that have audio and even some feeds that have video. So if you wanted to embed links to the audio version of the Daily Devotion or the Through My Bible in 3 years or the audio version of Wells Tech Podcast, you could do that as well. And we'll have a link in the show notes to this page so you can see examples.
Yeah. Nice job with that, Sally. Nicely formatted. Now, we should notice, if you're looking at the video feed, you should notice that this is a little bit different than embeddable content. So don't think that you're really going to get the full article that comes into your website and just displays as part of your website content, although you can get abstracts and portions of the text. But primarily, you're just getting a link with a title, maybe a brief description, that kind of thing, whatever is in the feed itself. So you're providing a list of links rather than maybe filling a page with content.
Right. And when they click that link, they're going to leave your site and go to, in this case, the Wells site to read the actual devotion.
Exactly right. But there are other kinds of feeds available other than devotional, although we have a nice list in the ebook of other options. We've mentioned a couple of these on the website, Daily Bread, which we just talked about in our 300th episode. But some of the typical sources, like Lutheran Women's Missionary Society has a missions update. Wells Kingdom Worker has Wells Kingdom Workers has a site with articles, so you can get an article feed. Bread for Beggars, which we've talked about before, has an RSS feed, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. So some of those usual sources, almost any site with regular updates will have an RSS feed available that you can grab and use.
And that would apply on the education side as well. We probably could do a little digging and come up with things like Word of the Day, for instance, that you might put on your website, or student news from CNN. I know
CNN has a ton of RSS feeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of potential, depending on what your subject material is, to get content. So if you follow a blog regularly, typically all blogs have RSS feeds connected. If your class is maybe following another class blog or something like that, you could bring it right into your web page with an RSS feed. Just a few examples for you.
One thing that we should talk about, Sally, is attribution or copyright concerns, because that's always a big deal when you're using somebody else's content. And while you do not have to state a copyright because you are essentially linking to somebody else's site, it might be good on your site someplace to let the visitor know before they click on that site where they're actually going to be going. So if they're going to be going to wells.net devotion, you may want to specify that somewhere in the, you know, the feed area. And it's just kind of a nice, courteous thing to do for your web visitors. But copyright is really not an issue with RSS feeds.
Right. One more plug I want to give for a resource called RSS Ideas for Educators. This is a PDF document, and I think it's a little bit dated. It was written a little while ago, but they'll help you understand kind of the ins and outs of what exactly RSS is, but then they give you lots of ideas for using RSS for classroom use. So if you're a teacher, you might want to check out this PDF document.
Very good. So that is our chapter on RSS. Shall we move on, Sally? Picks of the week. What's the pick from Sleepy Eye?
Yes, we should. And it is related to the Google Chrome browser, which is my browser of choice. And it's my browser of choice across a lot of different computers that I end up using. So today I was thinking about how convenient it is that I sign into my Google Chrome browser and my tabs and my history and my bookmarks all come along for the ride. So I could sit down at a new computer that I'm going to be using and sign in and feel right at home right away, because all the information that I'm used to accessing is available to me through that sign in. It's kind of an odd thing to sign into your browser. That's not the norm for internet browsers, but I'm beginning to feel the love for that. And they have great help out on the Chrome site. I'll have a link in the show notes. There's some videos that kind of explain it to you probably better than I am. And you can watch those and then find out information about syncing your tabs and customizing the sync process and things like that. I like it because I typically don't have just one home page, but about five pages that I like to open that I interact with regularly. And so I can set it up and those pages will come up for me on a new computer just right away by logging into my browser. So I'm feeling the love for Google today, believe it or not, Martin.
Well, that's a feature they've had for a couple of years now. And it really suggests that the internet has become your application platform, where a lot of the things that you use on a day in and day out basis are web-based, and it just makes sense to have those very important links that you'd have trouble functioning without at this point with you wherever you go. Your pick, Sally, is a nice lead-in to my pick, because it really necessitates something like what you're talking about, and that is Digo. And I know you're a fan of Digo as well, Sally. Digo is a linking technology, or social bookmarking technology. And I'm not talking about the big Digo. I'm talking about a very specific feature set for my pick of the week, Sally, and that is lists. Digo has something called lists, which allows you to collect different links and put them in a list. So there's a lot of reasons you may want to create a list. Two of the big ones are just for organization purposes. You'll notice that if you're watching at home, I have lists linked at the top. And again, these sync across my Google Chrome browser windows, which is kind of nice. So I've got Wells links, work links, a lists link, and these go directly to Digo. So when I would click on one of these links that I bookmarked, it's going to come up with a series of links that I put together that are of the same type. So the second biggest reason that I like lists is I can put together links for presentations that I do or workshops that I give. So here's an example of a class that I just finished teaching at MLC called Dynamic Classroom Presentations. And for that class, I put together a list of what looks like 87 items. So let me just dive in there. And what happens is it will allow you to categorize them so you can add little headers to the top and then move things around. You can provide a little bit of a description or context, and then you just send out a link to your list. So for instance, the lists are normally formatted digo.com/list slash whatever your username is. In my case, I'm Spriggs, and then the name of the list. So it's a really easy to remember list. And what I'll do is I'll put this right in the PowerPoint presentation I'm doing. And they, all they really have to do in the workshop is just write down the DIGO list link, and they can get everything that I'm referring to in the presentation. So it's a real easy way to bring that stuff together in a logical way. And it's very easy to create a list. So you just click on create a list, you give it a title, and it fills in the rest for you. So if I just said this is a test list, it's going to add that to the end of the URL. And I can make that public by default, meaning anybody can view it, or I can make it private, so only when I'm logged into DIGO can I see it. So if you want a list of maybe your bank, your credit card site, your banking account, your mortgage, you know, whatever, you can put that all in a private list so nobody has to see that, only you see that. You can create a add a category, add it to a category. This is mostly for the public side. Unfortunately, you can't create your own categories. But you can add keywords, which allow you to find your lists if you have a lot of them, and also give it a description. And you hit create a list, and voila, you've got a blank list, and you can start adding things. So that now when you're on a web page, so if I'm on a page like our book site that I want to remember, I can just go up to my DIGO plugin, which comes nicely in Chrome, and you hit the save link, and then you can add it to any of those lists that you have. One last thing about lists that I like, Sally, is the fact that you can archive lists. So if you've got lists that you want to kind of get out of your hair, but you may want to come back to and reactivate, you can archive them with a click of one link here, and they go in an archive lists tab. So if it's a workshop or a catechism class or, you know, whatever it is that you put together this list for, you can kind of get it out of your main list and put it in archives. And then if you ever want to bring it back, you simply go into that archive list and click the activate button. So you haven't lost all your links. So this is how I work on the web, Sally, just putting everything in DIGO. And I've got, you can see that on my active list, I've got even lists for the podcast. So if I've got a pick, or I'm considering a pick that's on the web, mm-hmm. I've got a Wells Tech pick list, and I'll just add it to that list. And then I just keep that list clean as we use or rotate through those lists. I've got a workshop ideas and content list. So it works as kind of just a little bulletin board or a post-it note of things that I want to remember and can come back to. So totally free. We've talked about the benefits of DIGO in a lot of different contexts for teachers as well. But lists is probably one of the most powerful features of all, I think.
Well, I am a list user, Martin, and you taught me something new because I didn't know about the whole archiving thing. So.
I think that's fairly new, so don't feel bad.
Okay. Thanks for the walkthrough. I'm a fangirl, and I can attest to them being very useful, especially with presentations. I really like that idea of freeing your audience
so simple,
to not take notes. I think that people miss a lot because they're so concerned about writing every word down, and they aren't really absorbing what you're saying to them in presentations or classes, and that just really helps to provide the link list like that. So
yeah, you really want them engaged in the dialogue rather than furiously scribbling down URLs, and
Absolutely.
There's no reason for them to have to do that. So,
mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and that's why it's referenceable for the future. You know, they don't lose it after that day when that sheet of paper is missing or whatever.
Exactly. So if you're not using DIGO, you'll
ought to be. We have a camp coming up.
Yeah, let's talk about camp.
Yep, we're going to camp on September 14th, that's a Saturday. I'm predicting a beautiful Saturday in New Ulm, Minnesota, when we will be holding Wells Tech Camp, and everyone's invited. If this airs on August 13th, we'll be 31 days away, just about a month out from Wells Tech Camp. And we have so many exciting things planned for the day. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to come and enjoy free food in the beautiful MLC cafeteria. We want you to participate in all the discussions. If you're not an expert, that's okay. Bring your questions, because that's a big part of the discussion, is just getting it started with questions and things. So come and participate, bring your expertise, and share with the class. It's all about you, the participants, and that's what's going to make the day great, because we don't have any speakers lined up for this big event. It's more come and share your knowledge and be part of the discussion
Let's figure this stuff out, right.
Should be an interesting day. And we'll end the day by giving away an $800 Mimeo Teach Bar, which is something that can make your plain flat whiteboard into an interactive whiteboard through the magic of technology. We're also giving away a 16 gig iPad. So if you're there at the end of the day, you may walk away with one of those great giveaway items from our vendors. And we want to include you in the drawing. So please do register. It's completely free.
Very nice. And we've got a number of registrants, so you're not going to be the only one there. We have a good group, and hopefully we'll get some MLC students too. I'm looking forward to having them join us.
Definitely. All right. Community feedback time. A couple of things to share, a couple of websites that I tagged on DIGO, actually, because we have a DIGO group for Wells Tech. And if you aren't part of that, we invite you to join that and share any website links that you come across that would be helpful to other church and school type listeners that are in our audience. The first one that I have is geared toward Google Apps for Education. And this is a list of scripts or kind of programmed functions that you can install on your Google Apps for Education. Some of them I was familiar with. Doctopus is really popular.
We talked about that.
Kind of a document management system. Flubaroo allows you to do some graded, basically, Google Forms. So you can use basically quizzing on your Google Forms and have it grade for you. But there were some that were new to me. Autocrat, a script that's written to merge documents and create a spreadsheet view. And there's more. There's a list of 10 here. Some of them I saw demonstrated at Google Summit this summer, and others are just brand new. Like G Class Hub is a gallery of scripts that allow any teacher running G Class folders to instantly launch spreadsheets containing scripts like Doctopus and Autocrat. So it kind of builds on top of those with additional scripting and stuff. You have to be a little geeky to get into the whole scripting thing, but it can really be powerful. We had some demonstrations in class where we took a quiz and it generated email to us with our quiz results in it and things like that. And you can even customize the email that goes out based on the score the student received and things like that. So it can make your life a lot easier if you're a Google Apps for Education school. And I hadn't seen a list like this of scripts pulled together. So I thought this was one that you might want to save for future reference if you are Google Apps for Education.
Nice.
And the other resource that I had that I wanted to share was something called Planbook. And, you know, I'm forgetting now how I came across this, but I tagged it. I thought it was really cool that you could have your Planbook online, do all your lesson planning and things. You can have different schedules, and it's easy to share with a substitute teacher and things like that. And after I tagged it, I heard from teacher Justin Groth, and he said, "I love Planbook. I've used it for the past 2 years, and I'm going to link worksheets to it this year so students can have them at home." So there's a great endorsement from a teacher in our system.
Does that sit on top of Google Calendar then? It looks a lot like Google Calendar.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as familiar with it as I should be. That's a good question. I didn't dig in too deeply, but it looks like it makes your planning easy and online in the cloud. So
cool.
Have to dig a little more. In terms of pricing, there is a subscription rate of just $12 per year. So
that's not
bad at all.
Buck a week.
So, yeah. I know I've read a good review of it, and I just don't have that at my disposal. But for some reason, someone I read had recommended it, and I thought it looked like a great site to share. So
cool. So let us know if you've used it. We'd love to get more feedback to our other listeners.
And then just a brief mention about our Wells Tech listserv. That's our email list that over 600 people subscribe to and regularly ask questions and receive answers of a technical nature for church and school support. Recently, Pastor Tim Wagner, who's at Lamb of God in Columbus, Ohio, asked a question about Bible history. He said, I'd like to do a Bible history component for half or all of the sixth grade year from a public school confirmation class. I'm wondering if you've done that and what tools, books, or curriculum you've used. I'm also considering conducting it online and also involving parents in the teaching. And we heard then on the listserv from Pastor Steve Daly, who's at Petra in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, and he talked about using Schoology. Schoology is a site we've talked about on the podcast in the past. It's a online learning management system, and the kids really like it because it has kind of a Facebook feel to it. Yeah. But it certainly can be privatized to your students and their parents. And so here's a little bit about his experience. He uses Schoology with Catechism. He loves the features that it has. Unfortunately, I don't have a curriculum of Bible history that I use with Schoology because I only teach 7th and 8th grade at Petra. I have a member who teaches 5th and 6th grade public and a teacher who does 5th and 6th grade at the Lutheran Elementary School. We use the NPH 5th and 6th grade materials, which we feel are wonderful, and include a heavy use of Bible history to teach that part of the catechism. Going back to the Schoology thing, he says, one of the things I like about Schoology are the test and quiz features, as well as the graded discussions you can post on the site as well. I keep the grade book up there and add memory work as assignments that are graded, and they also have apps for mobile devices, which he likes. So some good feedback on not just 5th and 6th grade catechism material, but also using Schoology as an online resource. And certainly you could use that for 5th and 6th graders as well. So right. Very good sharing out there on the listserv. Keep the questions coming there because there's always great answers and ideas shared there as people ask them. And we do have a link on our show notes page if you're interested in getting subscribed to that. Let's see if I can switch over to the show notes, wellstech.wells.net. There's a link in this upper area where all the different social networks are represented. If you want to subscribe to the listserv, it's actually the one that looks like kind of a conversation bubble. You can also talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest. We have a wiki. We have Digo. We're all over the place, Martin. So no excuse for these folks. They can even call and leave us a voicemail.
That's right. So we'd love to hear from you, too. The more feedback, the better, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So please let us know what your thoughts are and anything that we've talked about or things that you'd like us to talk about or things that you find useful in ministry. That's what the show's all about. Sally, next week we're going to continue writing our book, and I'll be back stateside for a conversation about documents, how to put documents on your website, but what kind of documents are worthy, what kind of documents might be useful, what categories of documents might you put on your website or links to on your website. So that's all coming up next week. Sally, it's good to talk to you in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota there.
Yep, it's always fun to cross the world and have a connection from Hong
13
Kong.
13-hour difference, yes. So, all right, let's close the show, as we always do, with the music of one of our Wells artists. This one is Cross to Glory, their song, Rescued. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Bye from Hong Kong, and bye from Sleepy Eye. Bye-bye.
Seek where there is comfort, there is peace. Where can it be? Entered the world through the one, through Adam, the deed was done, mankind sinned. Death is the wages of our sin, the punishment we find we're in. All have sinned. Surely I was sinful at birth, the measure of my total worth was stained with sin. I need someone to take my place, to take my sin and my disgrace. Oh, Lord, who can it be? Oh, Lord, rescue me. As through the one man all died, but a loving God was on our side. He could save. Through the obedience of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, the righteous one, a declaration came. God declares the world is not guilty, that from our sin you and I are free. Jesus rescued me. God sent His Son to take my place. He took my sin and my disgrace. Oh, Lord, how can it be? Oh, Lord, You rescued me. Now I know the things I want to do, they're not the things I do. Now I know the things I hate to do, they are the things I do. Now I know what a wretched man I am. My thoughts, my tongue, my hands, rescue me. God sent His Son to take my place. He took my sin and my disgrace. Oh, Lord, how can it be? Oh, Lord, You rescued me. I lay my sins upon Your Son, who was crushed, whose will was done, to die for me. I look to You to lift me up, to strengthen me, to fill my cup with Your grace. Your word cuts me like a knife. It is faith's source, my fount of life. Lord, strengthen me. God sent His Son to take my place. He took my sin and my disgrace. Oh, Lord, how can it be? Oh, Lord, You rescued me. Oh, Lord, You rescued me.